at some of the other events of the weekend just gone by here on the ticket.
KTCK, Dallas-Fort Worth. KTBK, Sherman-Denison. KTDK, Sanger. The old crotchety wolf, the lovable, huggable hammer, and abrasive and over-the-top Corby. This is The Hardline on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
It is 5:56 here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. This is The Hardline. Well, the weekend was a pretty big one for... really, I guess, most of us. Most of us had a few things going. Of course, it was Mother's Day. Did you call your sainted mother on Mother's Day?
Certainly did. I called her from the Irwin Center. Right before kickoff of the Desperados game. Certainly did. Talked to her for a little bit. She was having a good day.
How was your church engagement? Now, you had the biggest deal of all. As far as the mothers went, because you had to go speak at your mother's church.
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
I just told a lot of jokes about how she would always get me over there whenever she needs me to move her dumbbells.
What? How'd that go over?
It didn't.
Not well.
It didn't. Because he didn't do that.
What did you say?
What did I say?
Or if anybody was there, email me what
you
said.
Up there and you say, you get up there and you say churchy things.
And
that's what you do.
We're not going to get the truth, because what did you say?
You say churchy things.
Yes, I said churchy things.
Well, like what?
The same thing you'd say.
Did you talk about Jesus?
No, because
you know,
he couldn't get through it.
Talk about
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
No, I talked about...
Now
I talk about the Jesus.
I think he's been sent down.
The Royal Star?
Has he?
I think so.
That's too bad.
That is too bad.
Now, if they would...
They must have caught him smoking pot.
Okay. What a laugh.
That was the pterodactyl's
brother. And there was a press conference, and... the Royals general manager got up there and they asked him why the Jesus was sent down to the minors and what was said.
Jesus smoked pot. Let's just say that one of the elders at the church had something for you to read that included like four or five Jesus references.
Could I have gotten through
it? But you said, look, dude, you can't say this guy's name.
I know he's my Lord and Savior, but I just can't say his name.
I can't say it, all right?
If I could have kept that out of my mind, I could have gotten through it fine.
But
the chances of that happening probably would have been about 20%. No, they just asked me questions about my mother and, you know, why do you call her the pastors?
So
or the associate pastors.
You were up on stage.
Yes, and I was... They were asking me questions about...
In the front of the church?
Yes.
This is during the service?
Yes.
And it was a Q&A with you?
Yes, it was a Q&A with me.
So did the parishioners raise their hands like, Mike, what's Grego like? You know, some of those types of questions?
No. The only ones who asked questions were the associate pastors.
And what would they ask?
Oh, just questions about my mother. Why do you call her your sainted mother? You know, what did you take away from your mother as she was growing... as you were growing up, and, you know, things like that.
What a beating.
It was nice. It was Mother's Day.
Yeah, it was nice.
He did
I didn't
a nice
mind
thing
doing it at all.
For his mom.
Yeah.
It made not really much about a beating about talking about what your mom means to you on Mother's Day. I don't think that's a beating at all.
Yeah, Danny,
no, it's
God,
not.
You're sorry.
You are sorry. What'd you do for Mother's Day?
Drove back from Austin.
Oh, God.
Hung over to high
Can
holy
you
hell.
Imagine?
Listen to the nonstop, chatter of Big Red for 3.5 hours as he was still drunk.
It might have been my fault.
Oh, boy.
What, the nonstop chatter or his drunkenness?
Both.
Or both.
Woo. Good times.
Having fun.
But that's what I did. What did you do for Mother's Day?
I went to Arlington. We went to a Thai food restaurant, and then we went back.
on my parents' back porch and took naps. Me, my mom, my dad, my grandpa, like, fell asleep on the porch.
Got any little back porch wisdom?
No. Not much. Not much of anything. And that was it. Now, the day before, my wife, she took my mom out to that,
LeBaire?
Good gosh. Can we not get through this thing?
What is the matter with you?
You know, for once, we've actually got, you know, everybody did something for once in this weekend, and doesn't look like we're going to get to it because everybody's playing one-upsmanship.
Yeah, a few of us actually did something good.
Yeah, Danny.
It's bad enough that you call your mom from a Stuckey's on 35.
So my wife took my mom and her mother to Silver City for brunch.
One-upsmanship.
What about me?
Oh, yeah.
Total shock jock.
On that tour of Swiss Avenue homes. You know, the people on Swiss Avenue open up their homes.
Right.
And then you buy tickets.
And then you can go in and check them out.
Exactly. So they did that. And then they went to Cafe Brazil. So my wife did a good thing. And then, you know.
Well, I'm interested in hearing about Danny's big weekend. Because Danny was going to tie one on to the point where he couldn't even work Friday.
I'm surprised you made it back today to work.
Why?
Today's the day you should have taken off.
Right.
After 3 full throttle days.
I feel very good. I'm glad to be back. I missed you guys.
Because you weren't feeling good Friday night. No, you were feeling real good Friday night.
Was he?
Oh, boy.
How do you know? Like you even remember.
I do remember. I talked to you for a long time Friday night. Big glassy-eyed Danny. Now, I will admit, I saw Casorta opened up for Edie Raquel on Friday night at the Granada.
And then Saturday night at what?
La Zona Rosa in Austin.
Right.
I didn't go to that. The Hammer did, which we'll get to here in a minute. But that Friday show was great.
Wasn't she good?
Yeah, you guys were great. She was phenomenal. She has, her voice is unbelievable. I'm telling you, it is flat out unbelievable. And this is my prediction on her. She may not ever have another hit song or whatever, but she will always have cred in the music business. She'll always have that Lucinda Williams-type credibility where if she plays, people show up.
Oh, or will they?
If she puts a record out, what, do people not show up in Austin?
Not really.
Really?
It wasn't very well attended in Austin.
Maybe 500 people, maybe.
Well, how many people? It was packed in
Dallas. Well, they were disappointed.
There was about 750 at the Granada. It was about half full.
It seemed more crowded. Maybe because they had the tables and chairs
right
out. But I thought the crowd was really into it, and she was great, man. God. Her band was great. I forgot Charlie Sexton was her guitar player.
He's about the most tasteful player that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Everything he plays is perfect. And he doesn't overdo anything.
But I don't know why.
I like him.
I don't know why she's not bigger than she is.
Because she doesn't want to be.
She hasn't made a record in 10 years.
She doesn't want to be. She's Paul Simon's wife, and she can go out and tour when she wants to. She
right
can play the venue she wants. She can play the song she wants. She doesn't have to do anything.
Plus, she has three kids.
She doesn't have to make money at it.
She has 3 children. She is really dedicated to being a mommy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are they all small kids? Like, up to, what, 9 years old?
Something like that, yeah.
Now, how old was he, I wonder, when those
how old is he
children
now
came along?
Mid-60s?
Nah, he's not as big.
She's only about 37. I think she's a year older than I am.
He was no spring chicken doing those records in the 60s, though. It wasn't like he was 20. I thought he was like 30 by the time those records were coming out, which would make him about 60-something now. I could be wrong, but I thought for sure he was in his 60s. He looks like he's in his 60s. He's got chicken neck now.
He does?
Yeah.
He was born in 41.
So he's 63.
Wow. He's 63, she 37?
She's got to be...
She's 37.
She is?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And how tiny is she?
Wait a minute, Danny. Are you sure she's 37?
Yeah.
I thought she's like 41.
No.
Yeah, she is skinny mini, man.
Can't believe she's had 3 kids.
I know.
She's so cute and young and cute. And he's
and
so Paul Simon.
I know.
He's rhyming Simon.
And she's tall. She's like 5.
No, she's not.
All right, well, why did...
She's a tiny girl.
Ward sat back there and told me that she was like 5'9".
There's no way she's 5'9".
No, she's not.
She might be 5'5". Maybe.
Have you ever seen her before? Did you go to the show?
Me?
You misjudged the crowd, her height, her weight, her age. She might not even exist.
I was so loaded Friday night. I am sorry.
You know what? She's 2 years older than me. She was born in 66, March 10th, 1966.
So she's 38.
Yep.
Who's misjudging now?
You.
Okay.
All right, well, I want to hear what happened down in Austin.
Yes.
That's the show that holds a little bit of intrigue.
Why is that?
I'm thinking. Because you were supposed to be joined by George and the Hammer down there.
Oh, and I was.
Were you? So that did indeed happen.
It did happen, and guess who's going to join us next?
George Dunham.
All right.
I'm a queer.
We'll hear all about this big night out in Austin next here on The Ticket.
Tiger's in town with his little PGA buddies for the EDS Byron Nelson Classic, and The Ticket is there. You'll hear course updates every hour, Thursday through Sunday. Brought to you by Layer 10 Sales and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
It is 6:15. Good evening, everybody. This is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You're listening to The Hardline. I would be Mike Reiner.
I would be Greg Williams.
We're joined this evening by The Cobra, Danny Paul, Kevin Scott on hand with The Ticket Ticker, Psycho Dave at the helm, Barb Smith with Trafico Trafico, Rick Honeycutt at the barbecue pit, Miss Fugazi at the service elevator, and Dave in acquisitions. All right, let's get into the scene down in Austin, where you got sort of opening up for Edie Brickell. Then you have the Dallas Desperados Arena football broadcast crew down there as well, consisting of Giorgio and the Hammer.
Yes. I'm Sweet Greg out.
Where is George?
He'll be here.
Willie.
You know what? He might be trying to distance from this segment.
No, because he talked about it this morning.
But if I were him, I'd call in and defend himself.
I heard him talk about it this morning. All he talked about was meeting Edie Brickell. That was it.
That's pretty much the story.
That's not what I hear. I hear we had out-of-town Giorgio at work.
Hey, was he out of town?
Yes.
And what's the big deal about that?
Well, let's hear about it. What time did y'all get down there?
We got a late start, and so we didn't get down there till it was like 8:30. You know, it was right at 8:15 when we got to our hotel, which was in North Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to Danny on the phone, so we got checked into our room, changed clothes, and then rolled to that place. What's the name of it? I keep forgetting.
Lozona Rosa.
Lozona Austin.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever it was. So we didn't get, by the time we got there, we rolled in and... There we go.
Well now.
Hey now. Dunham. And Miller. Dunham. And Miller.
So by the time we got there,
we'll say hello.
Hi, George.
Hi, Georgie.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing?
Hardliners.
It's a big Heidi Hag.
Hardline.
So by the time we got there, Danny... And sort of, they were already finished. I mean, we completely missed them.
Is this story accurate already?
Sounds to me like they kind of rushed them through, Grego.
Yeah, it really does. We were disappointed. I mean, because we were, you know, we got a little bit of a late start. But, I mean, we were humping it down there. I mean, we were trying to get there as quick as we could.
Easy.
You know what I'm talking about.
Were you guys
about.
Driving?
Yes, yep. We drove. The only way to go to Austin.
Drive down to Austin.
What difference does it make?
You should never fly to Austin. That's a waste of time.
It takes the same amount of time to
pretty
drive
much.
To your car, to the airport, get on the plane, get off, and get to your hotel as it does to drive.
Pretty much does. And plus, it's a great drive. Nothing wrong with that drive.
All right, so here's George and Hammer arriving at Lozona Rosa just in time to see Edie Brickell.
I was surprised they made it. I really thought that they were just going to get down there and be like, nah, you know.
No, we were looking forward to it.
But then
I... No, because I wanted to see Sorta. I'm a huge fan of Edie Brickell.
Then I started realizing, you know what, this is Austin.
Since when? You used to make fun of her.
I never made fun of her.
Yeah, you did.
When?
I distinctly remember you doing it with me over the old cubicle area.
Pull that. I'm going
to make fun of about her. She's great. As I told Danny, I think top five voice in the entire world.
Isn't it pretty?
Yeah.
God.
Her, Bono, Kim Ritchie, Cy Kiernan, and David Bowie.
Cy
Kiernan.
Kim Ritchie.
My top five. Yeah, I need to discover Kim Ritchie sometime.
Where's Tom Waits and all of that?
Sixth.
All right, so you get down there.
So we get down there, and sure enough, our name was on the list, and we went to the box office, and they handed us two tickets. And
would you have paid if your name wasn't on the list?
No.
I would have.
Absolutely not.
You would have just gone home?
I probably would have. I'd probably just sat in the car.
By the way, the tickets were under.
Slept in the car, maybe?
I'm just sitting in the car.
They were under what?
We parked very illegally.
You did?
Yeah, very illegally.
Good.
So, and the minute we walk in, this is kind of a weird type place. There's a little courtyard area there. So the best way I can describe it, right? It's like a little courtyard where
little
you walk
patio.
In. This little, yeah, a little patio area.
Right.
So we walk in, and the first person we see, Danny and Big Red, dressed in identical red tiny T-shirts.
Look like Shaggy and a stray member of Blink 182 right there in front of
us. So we roll in there, and it's time to start having fun.
Really?
Damn yeah. Right.
Did you guys hit the bottle pretty soon?
No, not really. I mean, they came around, waitress came around, and we ordered a beer, and that was pretty much it.
By the way, the waitress loved Grego.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yes, yeah. She did. Let me tell you something. Grego has game.
Oh, no, that's bull. Come on.
It is. Danny?
Was he working it around you?
It was. No, I was not working it.
It was like hanging out with Elvis.
Yeah. Everybody in the band drank. People didn't even know.
Oh, I was not buying everything that I didn't.
You were big-time Grego then.
Well,
no,
was great,
I was.
And
I was
don't
just
think
what was
the waitress noticed.
What was the quote, Hammer? I love walking to a bar and just start throwing money around.
Well, see, it was one of these places where it wasn't really crowded, but there was lines at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't in any mood to wait on any drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So I just told that waitress, I said, hey, look, you just need to hang close to us. And she pretty much did.
She was great.
Well, she did. She loved the Hammer.
And so, George, did you partake in any
Well, here's the funny part about it. That we were in there and we had, like, our first beer. We were on our first beer. And so I was making a joke. Because we just got there and it was barely 9 o'clock. And I was just making a joke. And so I throw out, all right, you boys ready for shots? And George goes, yeah, I'll do a shot of tequila.
Then my hand went up next.
And I said, okay, let's get it rolling here.
But I did not keep up with you and Danny and Big Red, especially Big Red and Danny. Those two look like a couple of fish drinking.
Well, now, did the Hammer join you in a shot of tequila?
No, the Hammer did not partake in any shots.
No,
sir.
I didn't do any shots.
But he did enjoy a nice couple of margaritas at the end of the night.
And those margaritas were lethal.
Really?
They were good.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they were
right.
Ridiculous.
George.
It was at that point, though, that I came up with my new gag.
What?
For anyone who may have been a Texas fan.
Yeah, this was hilarious. I mean, everything.
My gag was, I'd walk up to them if they were wearing Texas stuff. I said, hey, you a Texas fan? They go, yeah, man. I said, hey, I am too. Hey, by the way, who we open with? And as soon as they would say North Texas, I'd just go, walk off.
It was genius.
He was doing it to
everybody
in there.
Even people that weren't wearing gear.
Who
he just walked up to them.
Yeah, too bad there will be no.
Ooh, easy. We don't have time to get into that right now, but yeah.
But so we're all hanging around, and believe it or not, this is what was funny, wasn't it, George, was that Band Danny was actually hanging out with me and George.
Yeah.
He hung out with us the whole night.
It was fun, man. You guys were hilarious.
I mean, him and
Big
thing,
Red.
Though.
Yeah.
He was hanging out with us, and so was Big Red. Big Red was, he was really cool, and, you know, we talked stuff like SMU diving, of all things. He used to be a diver at SMU. But the thing is, once it got to the end of the night, and it was very clear of who was in the music business and who wasn't, Danny had nothing to do with it.
Uh-oh.
Here's what was funny, was that it's toward the end of the night, and oh, by the way, you got to tell this story. Sitting there walking to the bathroom and look up, and there was this lady that had an infant child with her at like 1 in the morning, an infant child in this pretty loud place.
Now, what kind of lady, if you had to describe her?
She wasn't a big fat lady.
Oh, okay.
She wasn't. But she had some big fat jugs that she was whipping out and feeding that kid. Right there in the bar,
yeah.
Had an infant kid and was breastfeeding that kid right there, right?
Well, hey, it's Austin. What do you expect?
You know, that's kind of what I thought, Ron. It was just kind of shocking.
I saw a lady breastfeeding at lunch earlier that day at Opal Divine's.
And by the way, as the lady was doing that and this waitress was constantly coming around to hammer to see if our party needed any more drinks, Edie Bertel sounded absolutely awesome.
Yeah, she was great.
She was just great.
Now, you have a little infatuation with her, Georgie. I heard you this morning talking about trying to go and meet her.
This is the funny part. Because
I wanted to go meet her, and I figure, okay, I know someone here who's in the music business.
We were just opened up for her.
Yeah, we were just standing there, and George goes, okay, you know, Danny, you're going to go, you know, very nonchalant, you know, you're going to get us back there to meet Edie Bertel. And George, Danny was having none of that, was he?
Yeah, he said, I'll be going backstage.
Why didn't you help him out?
I couldn't.
Why? What do you mean you couldn't?
Whoa. Let me get this straight.
What?
Here is George wanting to go backstage to meet Edie Bertel, and he hits you up for this.
Right.
And you say, no, but I'll be going backstage.
Well, I was teasing with him because I had to go back there and get my gear.
How sorry is that?
Why wouldn't you take George back there?
And it really got a lot more sorry for me. Because at this time, we'd all had a few drinks.
Right.
And Georgie...
No, but I'll be going backstage.
And Georgie was having none of that. So he worked on Danny for about, what, George, 5 minutes?
At least.
To when he just couldn't believe that Danny wasn't going to help him get backstage. But let me tell you.
See, Georgie, you guys have the best producer up here, George.
Georgie was hell-bent. He was meeting Edie Bertel.
Right.
There was nobody in Austin that was going to stop him from meeting Edie Bertel. So when he found out that Danny wasn't going to help him, he moved on. And he found...
He improvised.
Edie Bertel's kid sister,
yeah.
To which he started buddying up with.
Well, I'd already got the pass before I met her. That gal who was a friend of Danny's.
Yeah, you got the ass pass.
Yeah, that was funny because George was. He came back over to us and he goes, "Hey, Danny, look at this." And he had an AS pass after show.
Mm-hmm.
So George was kind of going around mocking everybody that he had a backstage pass, and it. North Texas, Texas.
I still want to know.
Now, where'd you get that? Where'd you get the backstage pass?
A girl had it. It was a friend of mine that didn't want it.
Danny. She said, "Here, you want to go backstage?" And she heard me pleading with Danny. She felt sorry for him. She said, "Here, go backstage."
Why wouldn't you give George?
Okay, you've asked me that 4 times, and I've already told you. I said that I couldn't.
Why?
You freaking moron.
Why couldn't you? I want
to
know.
I wasn't allowed to.
According to who?
Let me tell you something, Meat Whistle. They would barely even let us back there. We were looked upon as outsiders in that group.
Why does she need this tight security?
But then,
yeah, why couldn't Carter get everybody back there?
That's not his job.
But then you find out that once you got back there, George, it was all pretty cool, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Edie was glad to see me. I had a good 5-minute discussion with her.
After you stalked her for 15 minutes by lurking.
Neither. I told the backstage manager, I said, I'm the big man. And he went, oh, yeah, come right in.
The big man.
Yeah, and George was telling everybody in there that he was the big man.
But it was funny. You had Edie in the middle of the circle of people talking to her, and then George kind of standing off by himself in the corner, Mark David Chapman style, just leering at her.
I wasn't leering at her. I didn't want to interrupt the conversation with her sister.
Now, I don't know what he was doing, tugging at the front of his pants either.
Yeah, whatever. And her sister introduced me and said, "Hey, Edie, this is George Dunham from Dallas, and he's a friend of a guy that plays in Sorta." And for some reason, I pumped up Danny's band to Edie. Now, she's a big Sorta fan anyway, so that really didn't matter, but she was really nice.
God, Danny, you sat there and watched George lurk and didn't go grab him and introduce him to her?
Nope. I don't even know her. I don't know her. I said hi to her once. She has no idea who we are at all.
Yes, she does. She likes y'all.
Well, she's very sweet to say that, but I thought she hated me.
Well, obviously you're wrong about that.
Well, she definitely hates George.
She does. I had the biggest bag of nothing when I met her. I didn't know what to say. I just said, "Hey, I'm a huge fan and got a chance to come back here and meet you."
It's been a good couple months for you, George, Edie Bertel, and John Bon Jovi.
Yeah. And I just think she's great. you know, I told her that, and she seemed really disinterested. And
well, you used to make fun of her in the cubicle area.
I never made fun
over at Mockingbird. You sure did, George. I distinctly remember it. Yes, at Mockingbird, he did.
All right, so where did the hammer take you afterwards? Because I know you guys were drunk and hungry.
We weren't drunk, but we were hungry, and because we didn't have dinner. We went straight there to see Danny's band.
Well, first we went to that backstage bar and had a couple beers there.
I'd like to say closed it down.
Yeah, whatever. We did. Yeah, we were there for a while.
So what time
and then, is this? And then that waitress, then she came over and started hanging out with us.
You.
She wanted to know all about the hammer.
You. Did you say I'm the hammer? Or did you refer to yourself as Mr. Beef?
No, I didn't do that. Hammer. I didn't do that.
All right, so you closed that bar down.
I am not Mr. Beef.
We didn't close it down. Danny and Ding Dong Ward were staying there till 6 o'clock in the morning, so we didn't want any part of that.
And then where'd you go?
To the Magnolia Cafe.
Is that right? Is that what you guys did? You stayed there till 6 o'clock in the morning?
No, we left after it closed and went home and put on our pajamas and went to sleep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then we went
we went to the Magnolia Cafe, and it was great.
Oh, it's such a that's the best place to eat in Austin.
How's the
I
food?
Got one more North Texas in there when we went there.
Oh yeah, there was a bunch of guys in there with Texas caps on and Texas T-shirts, and George had to walk by and give them the whistle.
Hey, who we open with? North Texas. That's gonna be so confusing for them.
What a great night for y'all. Was it? So what time did y'all roll in?
I don't know.
It was
1:30-ish.
Four.
It had to be later than that.
It was right at 2.
Four.
Right at 2.
Four.
And George, how'd you feel the next morning?
Great.
Really?
Yeah, buddy.
What time did you roll out of bed?
Oh, what time was kickoff?
2.
About 1:45. Oh.
I understand you were in such a tizzy after you woke up late that you forgot your game notes and your media credential.
Yeah, I left my media credential at the hotel, and I don't know where my Austin Wrangler notes are to this day. Did the game with no notes. Went off memory and flip card.
Wow.
And was great.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that.
And I was telling these guys how crowded we were up there.
Oh, yeah, we were basically a part of the Wrangler's broadcast. We were 2 feet away from Craig Way and Glenn Milburn.
Glenn Milburn, the Stanford running back?
Yes.
Yep.
He's part owner of that franchise, and he does the color.
Uh-huh.
And he is... I've never seen an NFL player so small. He is smaller than you.
Groups.
He's like 5'7", isn't he?
He's very small. And little. I mean, just a little guy. I mean, not... You get a lot of guys in the NFL that are, like, short, but they're, like, muscled up, and he is just small.
Yeah.
Sounds like quite a night, boys.
I'm sorry I didn't see Sorta, because we really wanted to see Danny's band.
It was good enough just to hang out with you, George. I'm glad you came down.
No thanks to Danny. I met Edie Brickell, though. That's certainly a big notch in the belt, because she's big time.
Mm-hmm. All right, got to go, it looks like.
Oh, okay, got to go.
All right, see you later.
See ya.
All right, there's Giorgio. Coming up next, a segment on baseball cards with the hammer here on the ticket.